Okay. Well, for sure, I didn't.
Okay, so we are up to the mission that deals with the very need for a minyan altogether. And this is derived from a very unusual source. We know that there were 12 spies, and 10 of them were wicked. And the Torah refers to them as an edah, as a group. God said, Admasai the edah hara hazos, this wicked congregation. Now, what's interesting is that this word appears also in the context of the rebellion of Korach, where God says, Yibadu mitoch ha'edah hara hazos, separate from this edah hara, v'afaleh osam kiraga, and I will destroy them immediately. Then there's another pasuk, this is now pasuk number 3, Hibadlu mitoch ha'ida razos, that word mitoch. That word mitoch is found in the pasuk in Parshas Emor, where it says, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that I will be sanctified in the Jewish people. So you go back to the original math. We started with the meraglim. How many meraglim were there who were wicked? There were 10. So it's a very strange source to learn out the need for 10 people for a minyan from the meraglim, but you can understand it if you think about the story this way. Those 10 wicked spies, they determine the course of an entire generation. So it shows you the power of 10, right? So you have 10 people who do very wicked things, and they can lead people astray. But if you have 10 people, you know, who do very good things, and right now we're learning Masechas Megillah, and we learn that the difference between just what's a village and a large city is a large city, by definition, has to have 10 righteous individuals who have committed themselves to Torah. So there are certain halachic practices that absolutely require 10 individuals, a minyan. In Porsin Eshma, Porsin Eshma is, let's say you came into shul late and you missed the regular davening, so you'd come in and you'd say Kaddish, and you'd say Baruch Hu, and you'd say the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, Yotzer Or, that's called Porsin Eshma. We don't have that anymore, we don't practice anymore, but possibly means half. Vein Ovrim Lifnei Ateva, we don't have somebody say Chazar Tzashatz. Vein Nosin Es Kapehem, we don't have Duchening. Vein Korin Batorah, we don't have Kriyat Satorah. Vein Maftirin Benavi, there's no Haftorah. Vein Osin Mama to Moshe, this is the context of a funeral. Remember, we stopped 7 times on the way there. You only actually do that if you have a minyan. So sometimes if somebody passes away, unfortunately, we don't really have so many people who knew them or they outlived their contemporaries. Sometimes, even if it's not an Erev Shabbos or starting tonight like a Rosh Chodesh where you wouldn't have mamados anyway, you won't have it because you don't have a minyan. That comes right here from this Mishnah. Ve'en omrim birchas abelim, this is discussed in the Gemara Masechet Ketubos, a special bracha that we used to say to people who were in mourning, and a special bracha that we would say to people who are comforting the morning without a minyan. But tenchumei avilim ubirchas chasanim, sheva brachos, ein mezamnin v'ashem, we don't add in elokeinu into the benching, kafos mehazara. When a person consecrated Leah into the Beis HaMikdash, if they wanted to redeem it out, they need to have 10 people there, as long as one of them was a kohen, tisha v'kohen, v'adam kayotze, by hand of a person consecrated his value to the Beis HaMikdash and then wanted to redeem it out. And so the procedure is he would need to give whatever his value was plus a fifth of his value. This obviously is not practiced today, but that too would require a minyan. Hakori batorah, anytime somebody gets an aliyah to the Torah, the smallest aliyah that you can have, lo yifchos mishlosh psukim. We don't have aliyos that are shorter than 3 psukim. That's the minimum size for an aliyah. Lo yikra lemiturgaman yoser mipasuk echad. So in the days of Ezra, when they came back to the land of Israel and people did not understand the Torah anymore. People had assimilated, basically, in the 70-plus years that the Jewish leadership had been exiled to Babylon. If you think everybody thought, 70 years, how is it possible that people could assimilate so much? Nobody understood this till the 20th century. If you think about it, I always compare this to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, so to speak, came into being in 1917, and it fell roughly 70 years later, 1989, 1990. You can lose everything with the right conditions of oppression. So 70 years, more or less, and they would read the Torah, but it'd be meaningless to people. You would see, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. God created the world at the beginning, the heavens and the earth. They would have no idea what it meant. So there was a need for translation. So how would they do it? They would read pasuk by pasuk. It took a little bit longer. Kriyas haTorah took a little bit longer, but they had a miturgamon. So when you're reading the Torah, you can only read one pasuk at a time, because we want everybody to know exactly what's being said. If you're reading the Haftorah, you can do up to 3 psukim at once, because there the stakes are a little bit lower. We're not learning out the halachos. We're not learning out laws from the Haftarah. We're learning important lessons. We're learning very important things, but we don't have to be quite as careful. So, v'navi shlosha. Hayu shlosha and shalosh parashios. If there are three different sections of the Navi, for example, psukim that start with the words Ko Amar Hashem, so said Hashem, which always signals a new prophecy. So Hayu Shloshtan Shalosh Parshios Korin Echad Echad, so that you can't read more than one pasuk from the Meturgimon at once. Medalgin B'Navi Ve'en Medalgin B'Torah. So you're allowed to move around between different sections of the Nevi'im, but you're not allowed to skip around in the Torah, except there's one case where we say a person can skip in the Torah, Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol would read after he had completed the Avodah, he'd read from the Torah, and he would read from Parshas Achrimos, where the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the special sacrificial rite of Yom Kippur, is discussed, and then he would move ahead a number of Parshios to Ach Be'asor L'Chodesh HaShavi Hazeh Yom Kippurim Hu. So he would read first from Parshas Achrimos, and then he would read from Parshas Emor as well. So there he was allowed to sort of skip ahead. But normally you never see us just stopping in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and rolling the Sefer Torah. We don't do that. You can't do that when it comes to the Torah. Ad kama hu medaleg, what's the sort of the internal limit until how much you can actually skip? Ad kadei shelo yipsok haTorgeman. So the halacha is that nobody should have to sit in the crowd silently, that the most you'd be allowed to skip, let's say when it came to the Haftorah, is the amount of time it would take for the Meturgeman, for the translator, to actually tell people what was going on. Because it's not considered kavod atzibur, it's not respectful to people if they're sitting there with nothing to do, nobody is, everybody's sort of like twiddling their thumbs and waiting for the guy to set up again. So that's the most that you can skip. But basically, we don't really have this practice today. The closest that we come to it, and this isn't really skipping because it's within the same section of the Torah, we just skip ahead a few psukim. If you're not looking in the Torah, you wouldn't even be able to tell, is on a Tanis Tzibur, on a public fast day. So you actually skip ahead just one column from the first Aliyah to the next two Aliyos, but you can't even see what's going on if you're not actually looking in the Torah, because you're not going to see them roll the Torah at all. It's literally the next column over. We start with Vayichal Moshe, and then we move over one section in the Chumash. But that's not really considered medalgin because it doesn't require any skipping in any real sense of the term. Nobody's going to be waiting around. Yes, Dan.
Is it only non-Orthodox shuls that